If you have your Bibles tonight, turn with me, please, to the book of John. It amazes me, Brother Jason, the scripture that you read, how it just goes hand in hand with the theme or the thought that God's put on my heart tonight. Our world's in trouble. I mean, tonight, I can't imagine being one of the families who has a loved one that they don't know whether they're dead or alive. And sometimes you could almost wish that they were dead when you think about what they may be doing to them. Amen. And all afternoon I've just had this text on my heart, and I didn't know if God was going to let me preach from the text or not, but anyway, He did begin to magnify it in my heart. And I guess I would call the message tonight the cure for a troubled heart. The cure for a troubled heart. Jesus' disciples were being told by the Lord Himself that He was going to go away. And I don't know about you, but if I had walked with somebody like Jesus for 3 or 3.5 years and then found out I wasn't going to get to walk with Him no more, that troubled my heart too. Amen. I believe it was a blessing to be around Jesus, to see His ministry, see what He was doing, and what would it be like to walk with somebody that always got it right, that always did the right thing, that was always right on time, that always did what He did with the right motive. Amen. He said, I do always those things which please the Father. And in John chapter 14, it's a very familiar passage of Scripture. I want to give you some things tonight that the Lord has put on my heart, and I appreciate the Word of God. The Bible said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He said, I go and prepare a place for you. And I will, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Whither I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Probably one of the most precious verses in the Bible. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Beloved, that verse right there is a divider of men. Amen. Either Jesus is the only way to the Father, or He's an imposter. He's a liar. And we know tonight that God cannot lie. Amen. And we know tonight that that is the truth of the Word of God. Pray with me a moment. Father, thank you tonight for our people. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for the little ones. Lord, I pray that you'll just let us live to see some of them, Lord, come to know you in the free pardon of sin. Some of these babies that have recently been born, fixing to be born. God, if it could be in your will, let us live to see them saved by the grace of God. And God, these that we've bid to come through our visitation efforts, and those that we'll see tomorrow night, God, I just pray, Lord, you'll work in their hearts. I pray, Lord, that Saturday will be a great day for the youngins. I pray it'll be a great day for the adults, and Lord, just be a great day of fellowship, and Lord, a great day of fun. Lord, I know tonight that, Lord, the world knows nothing about clean and wholesome fun and fellowship, but Lord, I'm glad tonight we can get together and have a wonderful time centered around our Lord and our Savior. Lord, I pray as the devotion goes out, the singing goes out Saturday, God, you just speak to hearts. Lord, perhaps one-on-one we could talk to someone about their soul. What a blessing it would be, Lord. There's already been a couple that I can remember that's come to know you, Lord, under the shelter. I pray, Lord, there'll be more in the days ahead. God will give you glory. In Jesus' name, and amen. Amen. Many tonight are troubled by sin. Some are troubled by society. I don't know about you tonight, but what's going on our college campuses, it troubles my heart, amen. It almost makes me want to tell a young'un, amen, stay away from that place, amen. But I'm telling you tonight, many are troubled by the situation in the world. You can't turn the radio on or the TV on without seeing the wickedness that our world and the trouble that our world is in. I thought I had this verse on my heart, these verses, and then I thought of another verse, and I'll actually come back to this in the end of the message tonight. But Jesus in John 16:33, he said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation," he said, "but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Job said, "Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble." Years ago, I heard a preacher preach. He said, "There are going to be days that we're in trouble." He said, "The key is, don't let the trouble get in you." Jesus said, "Don't let your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled." Amen. There's trouble in the homeland. There's trouble in many hearts tonight. Trouble in many homes tonight. And I praise God tonight there's one that can help us in our troubles. Amen. His name is Jesus. I'm going to give you three things here in this text, and then we'll look at one other text tonight. And give you the fourth thing. But the first thing tonight, the cure for a troubled heart, is a precious person. The Bible said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." Beloved, it's all about Jesus. Do you know him tonight? Do you walk with him? Do you talk with him? Amen. I love the song, don't you? "He walks with me. And he talks with me. And he tells me that I am his own." I want you to turn with me to the book of Peter tonight. When I thought about the word precious, the precious person of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord directed my heart and my mind to the book of Peter. You have Hebrews, James, and then 1 Peter. I want to look at a text tonight in 1 Peter chapter number 1. The Bible said in verse number 18, "For as much as you know that you're not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." Tonight, the first thing I'm going to give you in this precious person is the fact that he was precious when I was a babe in Christ. He was precious to me when I was a babe in Christ. You say, "Pastor, you mean your mind went back this afternoon to when you first got saved?" Let me tell you something tonight. We could have revival if he was as precious to us now as he was when we first got in. Amen. I believe sometimes we get over it, don't we? And we begin to forget. Amen. Somebody could read about the precious blood of Christ. And when we first got saved, our heart would just melt and rejoice. Amen. And we would think about how that we got in, how that we got clean. He washed us from our sin in his own precious blood. Amen. But I'll tell you tonight, I'm just thinking about the babe, when I was a babe, how precious he was to me. Let me read on. "Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, and was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that he raised him up from the dead and gave him glory. And the Bible said that your faith and your hope might be in God." I tell you, the night I got saved, I was in a good church. I had a good pastor. But I'll tell you, my faith and my hope wasn't in that church. And it wasn't in that pastor. I had a good mom, had a good dad. But my faith and my hope was not going to be found in them. It was going to be found in the precious person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. Hallelujah. You remember when you fell in love with the church? I mean, when you, I'll tell you, man gets saved, he hates the things he once loved and begins to love the things that he once hated. Amen. And one thing, the things that he used to run from, now he finds himself running to. And the things he used to run to, now he finds himself running from those things. Amen. The Bible said here, watch this now. See that you love one another with a pure heart, fervently. Now I'm going to tell you something tonight. They didn't nobody have to teach me that. I'm telling you, when God saved me, the Bible said something like the love of God was shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost, which was given unto us. Amen. I'm telling you, thank God tonight. Then he said this, being born again, not of a corruptible seed, but of an incorruptible. He said, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, all the glory of man, the flower of the grass. The grass withereth and the flower fadeth. Flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. Now watch this tonight. He said, wherefore, because of these things, this precious blood, this precious birth being born again, he said, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and all hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. I'm going to state a fact tonight. There are people in our churches today. I hope you're not one of them. But beloved, they had more of a hunger for the word of God when they were a newborn babe than they do after being saved for decades. I'm telling you tonight, beloved, listen, it'd be good to think about, beloved, how precious he was to you when you were a newborn babe in Christ. And then the Bible said in verse number 3, if so be that you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. How many can remember when you got a taste of grace? Hallelujah, beloved. You knew you didn't deserve it. You didn't deserve mercy. You didn't deserve grace. I believe it's Brother Mays. I listened to him preach this afternoon. I never heard him preach like that before in my life. I'm telling you, he was preaching on the abominations in the fundamental church. I never heard Brother Mays preach like that. Amen. I laid there while I was taking that treatment, and I listened to that whole sermon about 45 minutes, and I'm telling you, there was no paint left on the wall in that church when he got done. Amen. He was sucking the corn and peeling the paint like I ain't never heard Brother Mays do before. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, I remember when I tasted that the Lord is gracious, but I heard him say years ago, justice called. But he said, thank God Almighty, mercy answered. Amen. That night I deserved to die. But as a newborn babe, I found Jesus to be precious. The word of God said down there unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. Then he's precious not only and when I was a babe in Christ, but he's precious in the building process. You see, we're not supposed to stay babes. We're babes when we get in, but then we're supposed to grow in grace and knowledge. The Bible said in verse number 4, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. And he said, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house. I'm telling you, I thank God. Listen, I'm thinking tonight of Brother Don. He left this world and God was still building in his life. 80-some years, 55 years of preaching, but the Son of God was still building, putting those blocks in his life, amen. He's still studying, still praying, still getting close to the Master. Amen. And beloved, he ought to be precious when we're babes, but he ought to be precious in that building process. I will say this tonight, the world and the flesh and the devil is trying to tear us down. But aren't you glad we have a Savior that's bigger than the world and bigger than the flesh and bigger than the devil? Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. While the enemy's trying to tear us down, thank God there's a Savior that's building us up. Amen. And I appreciate that tonight. He's precious in the building. The Lord just keeps picking us up, and the Lord just keeps building us up. You say, Pastor, I don't know what you're talking about. Well, I do. Amen. I'm telling you, you say, Pastor, I've never fallen. Well, I have. I'm glad I have a Savior, beloved. Listen, that didn't come along and step on me and twist his foot and see how far in the ground he could grind me. But he said, come here, boy. You don't belong to the world. You don't belong to the devil. You don't belong to yourself. You belong to me. I'm your Savior. And just pick us up, amen, and begin building in our lives. Lives once again. Thank God for a Savior like that. Amen. We don't need to give up on him, because thank God Almighty, he never gave up on us. Amen. He's precious in his person. Precious when I was a babe. Precious, beloved, in the building process. The Bible said here, wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which are disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. Somebody said, well, looks like the church is going down. Not the one I belong to. Not the one that Jesus is the founder of. Amen. He said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Amen. I believe the gates of hell are against it. But the Bible said the gates of hell are not going to prevail against it. Amen. I've done read the last chapter in the last book, and God's people win. He's precious. When I was a babe, precious, beloved, in the building process in my life. And then I'll give you this tonight. He's precious in the battle. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2, and I'll begin reading in verse number 9. The Bible said here, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. You ever have a devil come along and just kind of just sit on your shoulder and tell you, you ain't nobody and you ain't worthy? I tell you, God's men, you know what I'm talking about. There'll be times, beloved, he'll say things like to you, who do you think you are? Getting in that pulpit and preaching that Bible like that. Amen. I'll tell you tonight, I'll tell you who I am. I'm a chosen generation. I'm a child of the King. Without Jesus, I'm nothing. Amen. But in Christ Jesus the Lord, I'm a child of the living God, a child of the King. And the Bible said here, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in times past, by the way, beloved, oh glory, I just now got me a little glimpse of who's writing this. That's Peter. Peter knew what the darkness was like. Peter knew what the distance was like. But he said he had a Savior. He said, come here, boy. You don't belong in the darkness. You don't belong in a distance. You belong right here by my side. Amen. Fellowshipping with me. And the Word of God said, which in times past were not a people, but now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, he said, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. I'm telling you, beloved, in the battle, he is precious. Amen. You say, Pastor, there ain't no battle in my life. I worry about you. If ain't no battle, amen. This Bible said the flesh lusteth against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. I'm not saying, beloved, that we have to lose. But I'm saying if you're serious about the things of God, there'll be a battle in your life. Amen. There'll be a battle. The precious person of the Lord Jesus. Now, I don't know about you tonight, but that'll keep me from having a troubled heart. Just get real close to Him. Just think about where I was when He found me. Think about how He found me. Think about how He freed me. Amen. Think about, beloved, how He called us. Amen. Amen. I thank God tonight. Listen, I appreciate the Lord. If you'd have known me in school, and I mean even in high school, elementary school was real bad. I mean, I was in the fifth grade. They'd rip the buttons off my shirt. They picked on me. They called me names. I was in the fifth grade before I ever stood up to that mess. But then, beloved, even after that, timid. I mean, to tell you, I didn't want to speak. I had French in high school. It was the spring semester before I realized when that teacher looked at me and said, Richard, that she was saying Richard in French. I just knew when she looked at me to say, je ne sais pas. That means I don't know. That's the only phrase I learned in French, amen. Je ne sais pas, I don't know. She must have liked me. I got a C. I don't know how. Amen. But anyway, I got a C. Amen. And I tell you tonight, I didn't want to speak. I didn't want to do a book report. I didn't want to say anything in front of anybody. And I thank God. God put something in my heart. Now, I don't want to say in front of anybody. I want to say in front of everybody, Jesus is coming and He saves to the uttermost those who will believe, the precious person of the Lord Jesus. That'll cure your heart trouble, amen. The second thing that'll cure your heart trouble, go back to John chapter 14 for just a moment, is a prepared place. Honey, we're not long for this world. How many believes that tonight? Listen, I'm not talking about just because some of us got some age on us. I'm telling you, beloved, I believe this thing is wrapping up at a breakneck speed. Amen. And beloved, instead of being discouraged, instead of being troubled in our heart, we ought to, my friend, have that cure in our heart for that troubled heart. Found in a precious person, but then found in a prepared place. I don't know what I have done tonight. I can't find it now. Oh my goodness, I bet I left my phone. That's terrible because I had the lyrics to a song that I wanted to read to you tonight. The lyrics, Brother Dale, I don't know if the choir could learn it, but it's my brand new home. Just wait till you see my brand new home. Wait till you see its glory there. Nothing down here can compare. Has anybody ever heard that song? I read the lyrics to it today, honey. It blessed my heart. You say, Pastor, that'll help you. Y'all sing it, Brother Ralph? Well, amen. Get with the program, brother. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, this world is troubled because they don't know where they're going when they leave this world. But God has given His children, beloved, in the Word of God, He said, I have gone to prepare a place for you. I'm telling you, beloved, tonight God is going to do exactly what He said He was going to do. He went away to prepare a place for us. I'm going to give you some things tonight. And turn with me to the Revelation, please. Revelation chapter 21. We were in here Sunday, but this is going to be a little bit different tonight. Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. First of all, tonight, I want to say this. It's a place where sin is absent. Hallelujah. You say, Pastor, I'm telling you, right in the middle of God telling us about the holy city, He's telling us about the walls of jasper and the gates of pearl. He's telling us about the foundation. He's telling us, beloved, there's no more night. There's no more curse. There's no more pain. And right in the middle of that, if I counted it right today, there's three times God said, let me tell you, beloved, there's no more sin in this place. Look at chapter 21 and verse number 8. The Bible said, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers. By the way, I don't care what you call those people that came across the border in Israel. God called them murderers. That's exactly what they are. They're murderers. Amen. And I'm telling you, beloved, the Word of God said the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Look now at chapter 21 and verse number 26 said, and they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination. I'm telling you, beloved, there's a lot going on in our world today that is an abomination in the sight of God. But I'm going to a city, that holy white city, where the sin will not enter in. The Word of God said here, worketh abomination and maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Now look down with me, if you will, at verse 15 in chapter 22. Three times God said, let me tell you something. Ain't going to be no sin. You say, that's not good English, but it's good preaching. Ain't going to be no sin where God's people are going. Amen. The sin was going to be absent in that day. Chapter 22 and verse number 15. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I don't know about you tonight, but I thank God, beloved, my heart is not troubled tonight because of a precious person, the Lord Jesus, because of a prepared place. Did you know tonight, I've told my wife several times, you know, when you live together and you get married and you have children and then you have grandchildren, now we have a great-grandchild, you accumulate things. And I'm going to tell you something right now. I hope to God I never have to move what we've accumulated. Would somebody say amen? I'm telling you, Brother Larry, you're laughing, amen. I hope I can just wave by at all that stuff. Amen. Let somebody else take care of it. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, tonight there's a place prepared where sin is absent. But then, according to the Word of God, there's something else that's really, really special about this place. And that is the Savior is present. Notice what the Bible said here. The Bible said in verse 3, I heard a great voice. I'm in chapter 21 of Revelation. Out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. They shall be his people. And the Bible said, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. I want to tell you something tonight. I believe you already know it. But honey, if you had a gate of pearl and a wall of jasper and a sea of glass and you didn't have Jesus, it wouldn't be heaven. If there was no sin and yet there was no Savior, it wouldn't be heaven. But how can you beat this? Beloved, sin is absent and the Savior's present. Hallelujah, beloved, what a day. What a glorious day that will be. There's the presence of the Savior. And then it's a place where the saints will gather. Brother Eddie, I traveled for, 10 years with Rock of Ages. One of the joys of my life, I've been in smaller churches, I'm saying as far as number. I believe this now. God has no big churches and little churches. Two or three of Jesus shows up is bigger than 2,000 or 3,000 where he don't show up. Amen. But I'm talking about I've been in churches where there was a few. I've been in churches where there was a few hundred. But I'm going to tell you this right now. One of the things that amazed me as I've traveled for those 10 years is God's got young and scattered out all over this globe. I didn't know it, and I wouldn't have believed it if I hadn't experienced it. But He's even got a few youngins north of the Mason-Dixon line. Amen. I didn't think there's any way that a Yankee could love God. Amen. But I found out God's got some youngins, Brother Junior, up there. Amen. That love Him, love preaching, love the Bible. I said the Bible. This old King James Bible, they love the Bible. Amen. They got good standards, got good music. Amen. Now, there are a lot fewer and further between up yonder. But God's got young and scattered out all over the globe. And one day He's going to step out on a cloud and He's going to say something like this, "Come up hither." And I'm telling you, the children of God are going to gather around the throne of God. And you talk about a meeting, honey. We're going to have a meeting that day. Amen. You talk about a homecoming. We're going to have a meeting, and then we're going to sit down at the marriage supper of the Lamb. You say, "Pastor, what will it be like?" It'll be like heaven. Say amen. I'm telling you, beloved, God wants us to know that He went and He prepared a place for us that ought to help us in our heart in these troubled days. Amen. There's a precious person in John chapter 14. There's a prepared place in John chapter 14. But then there is a powerful promise in chapter number 14. He said here, if I go, He said, and prepare a place for you. This is a promise from God now. He said, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am. Beloved, if you'll read John chapter 17, by the way, that is the Lord's Prayer. Amen. God gives us a model prayer when He says, "Our Father, which art in heaven." But honey, Jesus is talking to the Father in John chapter 17. He said something like this. I don't have it in front of me. He said, "I will that those that Thou hast given me will be with me, that they may behold my glory." Amen. Listen to me. Jesus is looking forward. I mean, as a father, when I find out my youngins are coming from out of state, as a father, I don't care if they're coming for a few hours or for a few days. Honey, I look forward to it. Amen. Can you imagine the Heavenly Father? They're not coming home for a few hours. They're not coming home for a few days. My youngins are coming home for all eternity. Be by my side forever and forever and forever. It's a powerful promise. Turn with me, if you will, to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. We'll shut this thing down here in a minute. We'll have a business meeting. Acts chapter number 1. Notice what the Bible said here. I want you to pay attention to something now. I believe I've called this to your attention before, but I want to call it again. I want to call it again. Jesus said, "I will come again." Now watch in verse number 8 of Acts chapter number 1, excuse me. These words, if you have a red letter edition Bible, are in red. How many can remember the last words of somebody that you love? And how many understands that those last words are generally weighty? Say amen. Somebody knows they're leaving the world, and they say something to you. I believe John knew those words were weighty when Jesus was on the cross and He said, "Son, behold thy mother. Mother, behold thy son." I believe John took that to heart, don't you? And here's Jesus' last words before He ascends into heaven. He said, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. That is the last statement that Jesus makes before he leaves this world and goes back to the Father. I think we ought to let that sink in now. Watch this now. I'm talking about a powerful promise. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? I love these three words. This same Jesus. Hallelujah. Paul talked about some preaching another gospel and some preaching another Jesus. But the writer here, Luke, says, this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Ain't that a blessing tonight? That's a promise from God. Amen. You say, Pastor, why are you so stirred up about this promise? Well, as a dad, as a papaw, there have been times when I told the children that I would do something, and then something else come up and I thought should take priority over what I told my children or what I told my grandchildren. But Brother David, when one of them looks up at you and says something like this, but Daddy, you promised. But Papaw, you promised. How many can get that picture? Amen. You ain't there yet, Brother Jason. You'll be there. Amen. I'm going to tell you something right now. Honey, you'll carry it out or die. Amen. What you told them that you'll do. You'll make a way. Amen. To do what you told them. I'm going to tell you something tonight. It ain't been carried out yet. But what Jesus said he was going to do, he said, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Honey, he promised. And he's going to do it. Amen. Let's not be like those people that Peter talked about. I believe it was in 2 Peter chapter 3. They said, they would say, the scoffers, where is the promise of his coming? I tell you where it is. It's in the Bible. I'll tell you where else it is. How many will help me with a good amen right here? It's in the heart of God's people. Honey, we know he's coming. Amen. We know that we're living on the threshold of the coming of the Son of God. What a day. What a day that's going to be. Acts chapter 1, verse 1. Jesus began to do and to teach. The church is supposed to finish what Jesus began. Amen. Let me give you this now, and I'm done. Not only a precious person, the cure for a troubled heart, a prepared place, a powerful promise, but there's a personal peace that's the cure for the troubled heart. Look at John chapter 16 again. These things have I spoken unto you, verse 33. That in me you might have peace. In the world, Jesus said, you're going to have tribulation. And that's just another word for trouble. But he said this, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I want you to see this tonight. Look at John chapter 14 and verse number 27. Verse 27 said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. How many is glad tonight that you have a peace that passes all understanding? Amen. Brother Junior, we're not supposed to have to bury our kids. They're supposed to bury us. I mean, according to nature. But aren't you glad there's a peace? When things seem upside down, inside out, There's a peace that the children of God can know. Amen. That the world knows nothing about. Isaiah said it like this: Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Listen to the rest of the verse. Because he trusteth in thee. Have you ever trusted someone that in the end proved to be untrustworthy? I have. But I'm going to tell you, when you're talking about trust in Jesus, he'll never be untrustworthy. Amen. My pastor, he instilled something in me, not to try to teach me, but by example, he instilled this in me. Brother Jason, I was a young preacher, green as a gourd. But he said this to me one day in confidence, alone, he and I. He said, Brother Rick, I trust you. He said, I don't make you earn my trust. He said, I trust you. And he said, I always will unless you prove otherwise. He just started out trusting me. Amen. And I've tried to live that way in my ministry. Amen. And I appreciate the Lord. How many is glad you come tonight?